All right, amen to the silence, amen. Good morning, Evanston Vineyard. It's always an honor to speak to you all. Good morning, thank you. Hey, I love that. High schoolers, yay. All right, as Ted mentioned, we are in a teaching series titled Empowered on the Person and Activity of the Holy Spirit, and today I will be speaking to you guys about healing. If there's anything we can remember from Easter, it's that the tomb was empty. We know that Jesus did not remain dead, but he was resurrected from the dead. And it's important to note that Jesus did not raise himself from his death. The Bible says that it was the Spirit of God. At his weakest moment, even Jesus needed divine power from above to wake him from his sleep. And Paul writes that the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you to empower you to live a life beyond human explanation. If you had told me a while back that one day I'd be standing here delivering a sermon about praying for healing, I probably wouldn't have believed you. When I was 15, I told myself I would never pray for healing again. My mom was sick, and even though I wasn't a Christian, I had an expectation that if God loved me, he would answer my prayer to heal my mother. And maybe you've been in the same spot before and thought along the same lines. At that time, I had much faith. But watching my mother's sickness overcome her body to the point of death left me faithless, and it left me fearful, and I became fatalistic. I do not stand before you naively of the chronic conditions that exist among those we love, but over the years, I have come to see that the Holy Spirit does heal people, even if it doesn't always happen in the way we want it to. And as Christians wanting to become more like Jesus, we should pray for healing. One, as an act of discipleship and compassion. And two, as a reminder that the Bible is true. The promises of a new day coming, free from pain and sickness and hatred and anger and violence, is actually true. Today, I want to speak from the thought that healing can be available for everyone. The Spirit of God allows the children of God to no longer live by faith, but to use faith as a tool to fight back, to take the kingdom of God by force. And one of these ways is through healing. If you have a copy of the Bible or a paper program, we will read from Matthew chapter 8. First service had more Bibles than you guys. I'm sorry. I like second service, though. I'm sorry. All right. Anyways, paper programs. Nice. All right. Verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. "Lord," he said, "my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "Shall I come and heal him?" The centurion replied, "Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes, and that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, "Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And make sure you pay attention, special attention to this verse, because it means everyone, east and west. Verse 12, "But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, "Let it be done just as you believed it would." And his servant was healed at that moment. So this passage involves Jesus, a centurion. I just like to say centurion, so if you hear me go back and forth, no, it doesn't matter. Anyways, and a servant who is sick. The Gospel of Luke lets us know that it wasn't any servant, but one who was highly valued. And this is really random, but if you've watched The Chosen, it suggests that this could have been the centurion's biological child from an affair with his other servant. But either way, it was a servant, one of low status. A centurion is a commander in the Roman force. He's able to recognize the authority Jesus has because he himself is a man of authority. It's like it takes one to know one, right? So the same way he tells his servants to go and they listen to him is the same way Jesus commands healing. And so I want to make three comments about this centurion. This is very important. A centurion only has power because he's in service to Caesar. I'll say that again just in case you're sleeping. A centurion only has power because he's in service to Caesar, meaning it's been given to him. Remember in verse 9, he says, "I myself am a man under authority." The centurion is only able to do things and make a decree in Caesar's name, to act on Caesar's behalf, under Caesar's authority. Are you guys making the parallel between centurion and Jesus? The centurion was able to pick up on something that Jesus had to explain to the Pharisees. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. And so the same thing applies to us. We can do nothing on our own. And I'll just say that again, because some of you guys are looking at me like, you can do things on your own. We can do nothing on our own, okay? You can do nothing on your own. And when Jesus says to pray in my name, it means we are to pray in his direction under his authority. If you pray for the sick, what God tells you to pray, what do you think will happen? When we access power by seeking his will and listening to his spirit. The second thing I want to point out is that notice the servant was far away. The servant wasn't even the one that came to Jesus. The servant couldn't come to Jesus. But even today, a lot of the times, people that need healing aren't the ones that come to Jesus. It's the people interceding for them. And the centurion in this passage is like an intercessor. And we get to do the same. We get to bring God to people despite their requests. Let's be honest. The centurion had a big ego. He was a very powerful man. He had servants in the first place, but he humbled himself to come to a man from Nazareth who was an enemy of his, saying, "I know you can heal my servant. I know you can. Just say the word and he will be healed." The centurion came as a humble intercessor for the servant, and the servant was healed. And we have that same privilege to stand in the gap and to pray for other people. The third thing I want to say is that the centurion was absolutely the last person you expect God to answer a prayer request. This was an active enemy of Israel, oppressing the Israelites, keeping Israel from its goal. And Jesus had compassion on someone that was against his people. But that's true of God. God always has compassion on people that we don't have compassion for. Although we may not feel like praying for people or forwarding the presence of God to people for whatever reason, God is always wanting to do that. If Jesus healed for the centurion, That means healing can be for everyone. There's no one excluded. Healing is available for everyone. It doesn't happen for everyone, but it will happen for everyone at the end of time. Remember in verse 11, he says, many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, and it will be glorious. So some of you might be wondering, why doesn't God heal now all the time? It's a fair question that a lot of people want answered. I encourage you to listen to Ted's message on the second congregational value, which is balancing the word and spirit. So I'm going to invite Ted to come up now to answer that question. I'm just joking. All right, I'm going to read a script from his second message. Ted says this, we're now living in the tension between the now and the not yet. The kingdom of God was initiated by Jesus' first coming. It's now, but it won't come in all its fullness until Jesus returns at the end of history. So it's also not yet. But Jesus didn't leave us without any help. He sent his spirit. And Pentecost is the fulfillment of the promise Jesus gave. And so the now of the kingdom can happen through you and me. Healing can happen through you and me, and many of us in this room have experienced healing and have prayed for healing. But still, despite having the Spirit in us, we know that the kingdom is not fully here yet. Even when seeing a healing, it's still temporary. This is also why not everyone we pray for gets healed. We believe that people still get sick and die despite our most fervent prayers because the kingdom of God is not yet here in all of its fullness. There's still injustice in the world. I know we were reminded of this week, because the kingdom of God is not yet here. We live in the now of the kingdom and the promise of the not yet of the kingdom. So all this to say that faith plays a great role in the outcomes of our prayers. However, that gets abused, right? It's not that God is deciding whether or not to heal someone based on how much faith we have when we pray. Just taking a risk and praying for healing is proof that you do have faith, not of expectation, but of obedience. You can have doubts and still pray for big things. It's important to know that if someone doesn't get healed, it's not because of their lack of faith. And also to know that God can even work despite our lack of faith. So when you read through the Gospels and look at all the ways Jesus healed, this might be familiar to some of you guys, you'll find Jesus healed people with much faith, Jesus healed people with little faith, and Jesus healed people with no faith. The prophet Jeremiah was aware of this. He says, "You alone can heal me, Lord." And even more, Jesus healed by placing his hands on people, and Jesus healed people in no proximity to him. A couple of weeks ago, I was in Azerbaijan, and the presence of God was so strong that there is a visible healing right in the middle of the aisles with this lady who had this like chronic condition, and everyone in the church knew her, and so they knew that what they were seeing was really real, and they just like freaked out, and then I don't know, the rest was history. But anyways, no one touched her is what I found out. She just was healed instantly without anyone touching her. So Jesus also used different ways to heal people. He told the leper to cleanse himself at the sea. But you might recall the story of the man who was blind in John 9. Do you guys know what Jesus did? He put mud on him. So he got him dirty. And so the point of mentioning all of this is to zero in and to say, regardless of how people were healed, it was always Jesus operating in the power of the Holy Spirit each time. There's no formulaic way to pray for the sick, but we can pray for the sick when we step out to take holy risks. So I want to point you guys' attention to half a verse because you guys are sleeping on me. Is a half a verse okay? All right, you guys like half a verses, not full verses? All right, half a verse. This is the words of Paul. And this is the secret, the mystery. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing in his glory. So what a marvelous mystery that when you give your life to Jesus, the Bible says you are born again. And that God puts his spirit inside of you. It seems basic and cliche, but when you really think about it, the thought that God would put his presence inside of a human being, like how is that even possible? And why? Why would God want to make his home inside of this sinful body? I haven't come to grips with this concept, but all I know is that it's true. And before I was a Christian, I could sense his presence in other people. I didn't know what it was, and it freaked me out. But when I invited Jesus into my life, I knew that I had that same thing. So here's the reality. If you have God's spirit in your heart, when you walk into a room, you're bringing him into that room, whether you know it or not. If we walk in the awareness that the Spirit of God is really inside of us, if we walk in faith, we can expect to see the same things in our lives that Jesus did in his life. When you realize this, you'll start paying attention to what the Spirit of God living inside of us may want to do at all times. And when you realize he's living inside of you, you don't have to work to make something happen. In fact, I strongly encourage you not to. So if you could turn your attentions to the screen, you guys might recognize some of these boys. Let me know when it's up there. I can't see. All right, it's up there. You might. One of them works at the coffee bar. He was like, yo, why'd you expose me? I was like, dude, it's obvious. You look the same. Anyways, so 4 years ago, I was placed in a cabin with a group of middle school boys. And I'm very proud of how far they've come regarding hygiene, but imagine like an unbearable stench that only you're aware of. They're not aware of at all. And anyways, so after our night session, one of the boys asked how God heals people, to which another replied, God can't heal people. And I responded to them with my level best theology and shared some stories of healing that I saw, but I realized God could speak more clearly to them than I could. And so I got a word of knowledge that one of the boys' legs was longer than the other. And so I had him come sit in this chair, and like, sure enough, you could see his, I don't remember which leg, but one of his legs was distinctly longer than the other. And his mom actually verified that this is true, has always been true of him. So anyways, I walked him through our Vineyard prayer motto, and we literally watched one of those boys, I'm keeping the confidentiality, you know, tight. We watched his leg grow out, and even though there was like six other boys that saw the same thing in that moment, I still was like skeptical. I was like, no, that didn't happen. That did not happen. And that's just to say, like, we can have doubt and still pray for the impossible. Does that make sense? It's not about our lack of faith. So at that moment, I was content with that one healing. I was like, all right, we saw God move. But one of the boys said, why don't we just pray for everyone who has something broken? And I was like, no, because now it's going to backfire on everything we just saw. And so if you can imagine like six middle school boys wrestling all the time, they all have injuries. So like one by one, they just pointed out their injury that we had, and they walked through the Vineyard five-step prayer motto, praying for them, and they all got healed that night. And so we just took I have like six pictures of this moment because each one of them were in the hot seat. But here's the thing. One of the boys said, one of my friends, or I won't give the identity away, but one of the boys said, someone here cracked their jaw in fourth grade. And so like every time they opened their jaw, it would open like horizontal, like diagonally, like this, like that. It was weird. I don't know. And it made this popping sound as well, like every time he opened his mouth. And I was like, I have no faith for this at all. But the kids, it is. And so We prayed for him, and immediately he felt this like heat on the side of his cheek where his jaw healed improperly. And we heard this popping sound, and they're like, whoa, did you hear that? And I was like, try to open your jaw. And so he opened it like straight like this, and his friend or his brother was like, whoa, are you faking right now? Are you faking? He was like, no, I'm not. And then he went in the mirror and kept going like this, and you didn't hear any popping from his jaw, and so God healed him. What feels like more worthy of clapping is that the cool thing is that I've seen these boys grow up and they're now seniors and they have their own healing stories of their own from praying for people. And so healing is available even for musty middle school boys. I won't show the picture for this next story just to keep the confidentiality, you know, tight. But who goes to the dentist? Don't raise your hand, actually. Never mind. Who brushes their teeth? All right, never mind. All right. Mouthwash? No, I'm sorry. All right. Anyways, I had to go to the dentist because I apparently didn't go to the dentist for a long time. And they were like, Adama, you have so much plaque. We need to schedule 2 appointments to do, like, a deep cleaning on your teeth. And I was like, okay, cool. Anyways, so but it worked out to God's favor because the second time I went in the next week to get the other half of my teeth cleaned, I was laying there, and I don't think I would have caught it if I had nothing else to do, and it was a reminder to me to always be present to what God might have to do. I noticed that the dentist was like trying to like almost like wipe away her tears as she was cleaning my mouth. And I was like, I'm sorry, my breath stinks so bad. I was like, no, but I asked her, I was like, are you okay? And then immediately she sat down and then started sharing her life with me and was telling me about how her son, who's 21, has cancer. And she grew up in a church in Colombia. But she saw how faith was abused all the time. And she said, even if there was a possibility that God could heal my son, I have no faith to even pray for him. Because she had been hurt by Christians, but also the church. And so with like my half numb mouth, I just said, like, is it okay if I pray for you? And I feel like that's something we should practice right here in this room. Like, just tell your neighbor right now, can I pray for you? Like, just practice. Can I pray for you? Just practice it. Humor me. All right. You're all going to pray for each other at the end, too. So I asked this lady, I said, can I pray for you? And she said, sure. And so I put my hand on her shoulder, and literally there was not like a single clear word that came out of my mouth because it was numb and I was like drooling, but it doesn't matter because it's the Spirit of God again that works through us. Does that make sense? We can do nothing on our own. So I prayed for her, and she was just overwhelmed with God's presence. She was crying, and nothing really happened that I knew of from that story, but this Valentine's Day, I scheduled to get 4 of my wisdom teeth taken out because, you know, I didn't have a Valentine's date, so I just, like, might as well get 4 wisdom teeth taken out. Anyways, so nice alternative. Anyways, so when I go back to the dentist, I'm, like, afraid to ask this dentist, like, hey, what happened to your son? Because, again, like, even I have doubts. I'm not standing up here as some faith warrior. Like, even I have doubts. And so I was like, how's your son doing? And she turned around and had the most, like, widest smile on her face. She said, we went to the doctor 2 weeks later, and they found no cancer in my son's body. And so I want to make 2 comments about that. The first comment that I thought was cool is that she said they promised the son that they would, like, go on vacation once he got through chemo and that stuff, but he didn't need it. And so they went on vacation that day that they found out that he had no cancer in his body. But the second thing is that literally 2 weeks before that story, I was in the hospital praying for a woman with cancer, and that person did not make it. And that person's with the Lord. And I think as Christians, like, we easily want to, like, explain away, like, why some people get healed and why some don't. And I was, like, even caught myself doing this. I was like, it's just a mystery. And Ted was like, it's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. It's just so graciously. But we do live in this cosmic world, like, where there's spiritual forces that are going against the kingdom and the reign of God. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that we should stop praying for people. So what I want to say is that sometimes it's not always a dramatic story. Sometimes it's just speaking a kind word to someone as a form of prayer healing. Again, audience participation. Turn to somebody and speak a nice word to them, one of affirmation. Cedric and that other Cedric, you guys both bring me joy every time I see you. All right, do it now. Everyone gets one. You do it back there. I see you back there. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you're here. All right. All right, I'm not trying to be trivial, but wasn't that, like, somewhat healing to get a nice word from somebody?
Yeah,
like,
I know you're funny.
thanks, appreciate it. but what if we did that every single day? Like, we made it a point to encourage people as a form of healing. We live in such a world that's so good at tearing people down. The least we can do is lift people up because Jesus has lifted us up. Does that make sense? And what if that person that you gave a kind word to that felt insignificant got 10 more kind words from people in this church? Imagine the healing that would bring. Ted, I'm happy that you're a senior pastor here. Yeah, that's my healing word. Right. He wasn't, maybe it doesn't work on everybody, but I was just joking. here's the thing. If you see someone injured, offer to pray for them. If someone is having a bad day, and maybe their pain isn't physical but emotional, just offer prayer. You don't even have to offer prayer. You can write them a note. How many of you guys write notes to people? Raise your hand. All right, don't raise your hand. Fine. How many of you guys paint pictures? How do you guys like drawing? Okay, cool. Don't raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right, fine. How many of you guys like giving hugs to people? All right, I see hands there. I don't like hugs, but anyways, thanks. All right. How many of you guys like making food for people? All right, this is personal for me. Just, all right, keep your hands up. All right. Anyways, but guys, food is healing. Don't box the Spirit of God. He can move in power through you in many ways to bring healing. And healing doesn't just apply to our bones and the bodies, but that includes the broken systems in our world. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Lastly, I want to say, you don't have to force it. You allow the Spirit to guide you. And so it's a partnership. You don't force it, and He won't force you. And I found the stories to be more memorable and meaningful that way. So don't just take my word from it. Here's another story from Linda Sylvester. All right, this is from Linda. Sometimes God surprises us when we least expect it. He reminds us of His love and compassion towards us. I gave my life to Jesus in 1987 in my late 20s in my apartment in Chicago after reading the Bible for the first time from the front to the back. Whoa. Reading God's word changed my life, and hope was renewed in me from a deep place of hopelessness. I started to believe God and trust Him like a child would his own father. I realized then that it was time for me to find a church, a community to grow closer to God and to others. I moved to Evanston from Chicago in 1989 and was driving down Howard Street one day when I saw a sign. The sign was advertising the Evanston Vineyard. So I followed the sign and attended Sunday service. After service, I knew then that this was where God was leading me to. Being raised in a Catholic church, the Evanston Vineyard opened my eyes to the power of prayer in a unique way and how God wanted to use me and us in his hands and his feet to bring healing and change to those around us and to me. Shortly after I became a member of the Evanston Vineyard Church, my dad developed a difficult medical problem. This was more than 30 years ago. My dad believed in Jesus, but he wasn't sure that the Bible was the true word of God. My dad sat me and my family down at the dinner table after seeing his doctor, and he said that the doctor gave him about 1 year to live. He was diagnosed with a rare form of lymphoma. My family and I were shocked and saddened. And after my family member left the house, I asked my dad if I could pray over him with blessed oil from the church and with my mom to help me. I had childlike faith with the oil and prayed for God's healing. 3 months later, my dad had another MRI, which found no cancer. He lived in a full life and died in 2016 from other causes. He also gave his life fully to Jesus and believed. Praise God, she wrote. So, healing is available even for Linda's family. And sometimes we don't see healing when we pray, but again, it doesn't mean that good fruit still can't come from it. So, next slide, if you will. Let me know when it's up there. All right, how many of you guys go to Jewel?
Yes.
All right, how many of you guys eat past 10 o'clock? All right, cool. You guys, we're friends now. I eat past 10 every time. I don't recommend it. It's so bad for you. All right, anyways, so I was in Jewel getting food or dinner as I normally do, and I remember I was going to grab some toiletry items. So I'm in the toiletry aisle now, and this guy is also in the toiletry aisle in Jewel, and he's grabbing like a bunch of green mouthwash. And I swear I didn't ask him, but he just felt the need to explain why he was buying all that green mouthwash. And he was like, my daughter has this last minute project for St. Patrick's Day, so she needs this for her project. How many of you parents have kids that do that? Or how many of you guys were that kid that made last minute like, Mom, I have a project. Like, I was that kid, so I felt his pain. Anyways, so I was like, okay, cool, thanks. And then he was like, we just started talking. He was like, what do you do? And I told him I was a high school pastor here. And he was like, oh, I don't like pastors. And I was like, I also didn't ask that, but nice. Thanks for sharing your opinion. And so I was like, well, tell me about that. I'm interested. And he was like, well, my whole life, I've always had these theological questions about God, and every time I asked a pastor, they would dismiss me either because they didn't have an answer or they would say my doubts and questions were like indicative that I had no faith. And he also thought that if the pastors had no answers for his questions, maybe God had no questions or answers to his questions. And maybe God wasn't real, and maybe God doesn't love him. So anyways, he says, do you want to hear my questions? And I was like, no, I don't. But I was like, sure, yeah, tell me. So I remembered he started asking me his questions. Asked the first one. I gave him my level best theology at the time. Then he asked me another question, and I answered again. And before he started asking me his third question, I was like, God, please give me a word so I can change the course of this conversation for this guy. And if you're wondering how you can hear from God for other people, Brian's going to give a talk on that soon. So look forward to that. So anyways, God spoke to me, or I felt this impression that he couldn't hear out of his left ear. So I just cut him off right in the middle of his third question. I was like, hey, before you ask that, is it possible that you can't hear out of your left ear. And then he said, holy, and I can't say the second word because I'm in church, but in Jewel, he said it. No, I'm just joking. But then he's like, how do you know that? And I just told him, like, sometimes God speaks to us in this way to show his love for people. So I was like confident, like if God gave me this word about this guy's left ear, surely God would heal him. And so as I'm about to pray for him for his ear, he's like, also during COVID, I lost my senses. And a couple, like a while back, I had this like traumatic car accident and my brain something, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh no, like I had no faith at all for his nose and his car accident type of thing. So anyways, I don't want to make a long story, or I want to make a long story short. So I'm in Jewel, and I have him, like, smelling my shampoo and stuff, like, to see if he can smell. Like, I'm snapping in his ear to see, like, if God's healing him or anything. But anyways, I went 0 for 3, like, in seeing physical healing happen for this guy. And I was, like, so embarrassed. But I was like, man, at least I stepped out in faith. But before the guy walked away, he said to me, my whole life, I've longed to experience the love of God, and tonight I experienced it. He said, even if I didn't feel his presence, which he did while I was praying for him, he was like, I feel this like electricity going through my body. Feels really good. Anyways, that's what he said. I don't know what that meant. But anyways, he said, even if I didn't feel his presence, I encountered it through you being willing to stop and listen to my questions and offer to pray for me. So why wouldn't we want to offer prayer for people? Like, healing is available for a man who got no physical healing but needed to know the love of God. I like this quote from Dr. Charles Montgomery. He says, faith expects a yes but can endure a no. I feel like that's a word for the person praying and also for the people that receive prayer. Meaning, when we don't see someone healed, we don't have to make poor excuses for why they didn't. We have a strong theology for failure. And for the person of faith who is receiving prayer, know that God has made a promise that we will rise again. There will come a time when there is no sickness, cancer, addiction, pain in our bodies, and even balding. I picked on Ted, but now I'm going to pick on Brian. There will be no more balding for you, Brian. I say no. You're supposed to have hair. Anyways, the resurrection will give us more than sin has ever taken. His resurrection is our resurrection. So don't stop praying for people. Don't stop praying for everyone. In closing, I want you to remember that there's only one formula for praying for people. The more you trust that he can use you, the more he will. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 5 that my Father is always at work. So when we wake up to the idea that God is always ready to move, it frees them up to work through you. And every time we pray for someone, whether they get healed or not, we reorient our view of God and learn more about his nature and heart. So I just want to pray right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's just think about the man who immediately exclaimed to Jesus, I do believe, Lord, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. I believe, Lord, but help me with my unbelief. Help me to overcome my unbelief. And Lord, that's what I ask this morning, that you would help us. Would you rid of all the fear of what other people might think? fear of failure, fear of our own pride, Lord. And would you turn us, would you mold us, would you equip us and make us a healing community? I pray that for the Evanston Vineyard, that we be a healing community. The only place that we would see healing wouldn't be in these four walls, but outside in the city of Chicago and all the neighboring suburbs. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.